career sucks.
Sex just isn't the same.
What's my purpose?
Where did this fat come from?
My relationship is killing me.
I'll never be happy.
My debt is piling up. I'll never find love. Why can't I be like other gay guys? Hey guys, it's time to get a grip, stop whining, make a bold move, and do something amazing with your 40 plus gay life. Let's get to the show with your Tell It Like It Is host, Rick Clemons, who does his best to never act like a dick or a diva unless you act like one first.
Hey, 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 guys, it is pride season, and what better time of, you know, the year? Well, I guess it's always good time of year to talk about gay men and our bullshit, right? Let's just go there, but it's pride season. Let's talk about some good stuff and what you do when you finally figure out, this is what I'm called to do. This is why I should be doing it, and I'm really going to go for it, and I'm not going to look back, and I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever it is. There are those inflection points in time where suddenly the calling comes and you thread your needle and off you go to being your fabulous self. And today's guest is all about that. And I'm going to just say he pushed really hard. Like, I got to be on here. I want to be here in Pride Month. Just saying. I mean, he did twist some arms, you know. I said, okay, well, you know, you make me a good suit for my daughter's wedding. Maybe we can talk about this. No, I'm kidding. I'm giving him a hard time right now. But he is an author. He is a designer. He's in the fashion business. He was named Out Magazine's 2020 Outlist 100. And I don't know. There's just something about really finding those callings. And I felt like Pride Month is one of those things. If we're going to celebrate the calling to be out and proud, why not celebrate the calling to be out proud of yourself and doing what you most love to do? His name is Kadeem Alfonso Fife. See, I told him I'd get it right. I told him I could do it. From here on out, it's just going to be Kadeem. We're just going to go there. So Kadeem, welcome to the podcast, buddy. So glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I'm super excited to chat all things pride and all things pride. Hopefully we
fashion,
can,
you know, men, yeah, hookups. Well, I don't know if we'll get into hookups, but yeah, we can talk all, whatever we want to talk. But I just have things to say, he's a little tired, folks. I'm just saying he had a busy weekend prior to recording this. He had a fashion show and everything he was doing. So we're going to give him a little grace and a little like space to like recover. I mean, I don't know how much he drank. I didn't ask that question.
But
anyway, really excited to have you here, man. It's a fun thing for me to get to talk to somebody who's really like, I'm totally into what I get to do in my world. Mm-hmm. And so many gay men, and I'm not beating you guys up out there, but so many gay men struggle with like, this is my thing. This is the thing I really, really want to do. So I'm curious, did you just pop out of mama's womb and like, mama, I'm going to be a designer. That is just the way it is. Or was this something that grew into, you know, from childhood, or suddenly you discovered it? Where did this all come into play, Kadeem?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Super.
I'm glad you qualified
that
for having me on the podcast, not just for having me. You know, I have to do that once. I'm like, really?
Thanks for having me.
Really?
Not quite.
Really? I'm sorry. My memory does not serve me that we had that.
Yes. But, you know. Absolutely. No, always best to be clear. I'm just super excited to chat with you and hopefully inspire your listeners. So to answer your question, I get asked this question all the time, like, when did I know I wanted to be a designer, or when did the fashion bug hit me? And it's funny that you said, did I pop out of my mother's womb? Because that's a joke that I recently made on another interview. And in fact, I did. Like, I've always known that I wanted to be a designer. One of my earliest childhood memories is being in church. I come from a really religious family. And so we had to go to church all the time. And I remember one Sunday morning in particular, this woman like caught the Holy Spirit. And I was less concerned about the Holy Spirit and like much more concerned with what she was wearing. And I just remember being like so mesmerized by like the movement of the fabric of her like red frilly dress. And like, I will never forget that moment. Like, it was sort of like, you know, in the movies where everything sort of zooms out, or, you know, everything fades out. And then you zoom in on that one thing. And I went home and like tried to sketch the dress from memory, and I did successfully, but obviously would do better now. I was a 4-year-old, but I then just went up to my mom and was like, hey, I like love women's fashion. And I would always just like spend my Sunday, you know, my Saturday or Sunday afternoons just sketching women's clothing from the time I was like 4 until now. And it's still like a hobby of mine as well as something that I do professionally. And so, my focus has always been, my focus has always been women's wear design. But as a professional, I have designed across multiple categories, men's and women's active wear. I did women's collection at Michael Kors to start my career almost 11 years ago. And then bringing it back to like present day, I design women's wear couture. So like made to order pieces for special occasions. So like weddings, birthdays, proms, things of that nature. So under my own name, I do couture. And then I also have a like a consulting end of my business where I help other entrepreneurs or people looking to get into the fashion industry. I help them sort of take their creative vision from initial concept to market. So I really, sort of I'm with them every step of the way from the moment they conceptualize an idea to getting it onto shelves or into stores, or on shelves or like sold online. So I really enjoy like the inspirational part of what I do as well, and like being able to help people achieve their dreams or just sort of like dive into something that they may not have done if they didn't have that sort of guidance from a pro. So.
But I think this is a piece of the puzzle that for many people, and I'm going to dial it into, gay men, as they come across those moments in life where it's like, okay, I really want to do something I love, I enjoy. And they get into it and then they're like, this isn't what I want. And they kind of give up, right? And I coach professional speakers, helping them build their speaking business. And it's kind of like the fashion world. One day you're in and one day you're out, so to speak, right? But what they don't get is you're building a business. Regardless, you build a business. You can love to design all you want. That's one piece of it. There's a whole nother element of running the business. And I
For
think for
sure.
many guys, and I've coached a lot of gay men coming to these pivotal moments like midlife, like, okay, I'm done doing what I'm doing, but what's next? What do I do next? And your passion to be whatever is next is great, but can you make a business of it? That's the whole other piece of it. And too often they get hung up in that stuff. It's not like a hookup, guys. You don't just go hook up with this and okay, that was enjoyable. Well,
One
maybe
and
you do.
done.
It was enjoyable, but you're not one and done. There's a whole thing. And so I think one of the things I'd love to explore with you a little bit is, those lessons you've learned along the way that keeps you in the game. I mean, there's got to be moments where you're like, I'm just done. I'm just done.
Yeah, for sure. Two things that I wanted to touch on based on what based on that subject is that I think for us, we have to go through sort of like our coming out experience and like getting in order to then step into our like professional or personal like destiny. And I think like one thing that I always try to one thing that I always say, especially when I'm speaking to like kids and like LGBT groups throughout the city, I always say to pursue your dreams fiercely and live your life authentically. And I think that is particularly a particularly important approach for gay guys. Like it's like step out of your own way by living authentically, and then everything else sort of falls into line because you've sort of crossed the you've crossed the biggest barrier. I think like once you decide that you're gonna do live out loud, then you can you then I feel like that is the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges that we face. And once you pass that sort of threshold, then you can go on to do anything. And then the other
Well, wait just a minute. I just gotta stop and like let that one sink in. I feel like you and I are Oprah under the oaks right now because you just delivered like a really powerful Super Soul Sunday sort of moment
very
there.
that where you
It, no,
said
I'm
that's
serious.
very
That was
that
such a beautiful thing. And
thank
I mean,
you.
I've heard it different ways, but I've never, obviously, that's yours. That is definitely yours because I think for many of us, we want to go do this thing. We want to go pursue the dream. But by you putting that word fiercely on the end of it and then marrying it with living your life authentically, it's almost like being fierce and authentic are almost, they almost clash unless you really
Absolutely.
wrap your head around it. Like, I want, it's kind of like my brand. I really want guys to be unapologetically who they are.
Yes.
But that's scary as shit to go do that, right?
Yes,
like,
it is.
And I'm not saying fuck you, this is the way I am. That's not the right. unapologetic I'm talking about. I'm talking about owning this is my truth. And mm-hmm. and I'm never going to shy away from, you know, unapologetically living my truth. Mm-hmm. And trust me, that thought has crossed my mind a lot lately. Like, okay, with all the crazy that's going on in our world and who knows yeah. where we'll be in another 6 months and where the LGBTQs other than I just don't think they realize we're queer and we're staying here and we will fight back like nobody's business, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's I think that's true. The stuff, yeah. the fierce and the authenticity. And that's why I wanted to interrupt you. And I also yeah. wanted to have our moment under the oaks, even though neither yeah. one of us are under the oaks. I do not live far from Oprah. I'm just saying the girl's just down the road from where
oh
I live.
Oh my gosh.
But,
so funny.
But okay. So you had that. And then what was the second piece? I hope you remember yeah. the second piece.
Yeah. So yeah, of course. So pursue your dreams fiercely and live your life authentically. And I think once you do that, again, you step out of your own way in order to step into your destiny. And I think that facing whatever that the challenge of pursuing your dream and putting in the work and like dealing with the good, the bad, and the ugly is mm-hmm. like one of the hardest things. And one of the hardest things that I think anybody has to face because, you know, a dream, I think, has so much weight to it. Like some, you know, to use me as an example, I've always wanted to be a designer. And so like every day that I wake up and I wasn't, or every day that I woke up and I was not that, I felt unfulfilled. And mm-hmm. there are still moments where, you know, I'm like 10 years into my career and like after a show, the couple of days after I feel like deflated because the applause is over. So it's like, am I a designer still? It's like, yes, I am.
Oh, just, so like, you're one of those. You're like me. You're a spotlight queen. You're like, oh,
I am a spotlight, a spotlight queen.
Queen. You, don't tell me you're a Leo because then we're I'm really going to.
No, I'm a Virgo.
Okay. Well, us Leos, we own the spotlight. So just, yes, exactly. just say it.
Yeah. No,
but it is interesting because it is that piece of, I mean, this podcast wouldn't even exist if I had not gotten out of my own way.
Right, exactly.
I mean, years ago, and this podcast wasn't even the one that was the original. Life in Closet mm-hmm. is the original one. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine kept saying, you should do a podcast. I'm like, uh-uh, that's not me. That's not what I want to do. Not at all, right?
Right.
And now I sit here and I get to do this and have these amazing conversations like we're right. having. And I'm like, that bitch was right. She was spot
isn't
on.
It, isn't it?
Right. And it? I do love yeah. it. I tell my yeah. husband all the time. I'm like, I love you and I love everything that we have. And I love my business, but do not. And yes, the finger comes up when I say this, do not take my podcast away from me. I get right. to determine when they're done, but it's the one thing in my life, Kadeem, that it brings me alive. You know, yeah. even on my most tired days, yeah. it's like, okay, I guess I have a podcast to record. And then the moment yeah. we like get in and I'm like, okay, let's go. Even if it's a solo show, even if right. I'm like, you know, doing one just by myself, there's just this thing that takes over. And I wish more guys could experience what we're talking about by being, and a lot of guys do. They love what mm-hmm. they do in their work. A good friend of mine, he loves what he does. And I'm like, okay, but you're an accountant. Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's not my journey, but yeah.
It's not my journey at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. But but these are important pieces. Do you see this a lot in the mentoring you do where people are just like, I just got, you know, I want this dream, but
yeah, there is a bit of like push and pull, especially in the beginning when I'm taking on a new client, because I'm like, you know, I believe in you. And so I have to like kind right. of be a coach as well as a designer and as well yeah. as a production manager. And, you know, especially most of these people who are coming to me are entrepreneurs. And so that's a whole other journey that you have to have like a backbone for. And you also,
well, it's a whole mindset.
It is. And
mindset alone is so different.
It's like high risk, high reward, but it also mm-hmm. can, you know, high risk can also lead to like very, very low pitfalls. And it's just about, I feel like entrepreneurship, aside from like the money piece and the business piece, is really about having self-determination. Like you have to wake up and do it yourself because no one else is yep. going to do it. And I've always kind of had that sort of independent mindset, like no one's going to hand me anything. I'm going to go out and get it myself. And one of the things that I've said before when talking about this subject is that I like was very lucky. When I reflect, I realize I was very lucky in the way that I was raised. Like my parents, but they always just told me that I could do anything. And like, I didn't, as a kid, you don't realize how powerful that sort of having that mindset instilled in you can be. But as an adult, I realize like I'm fearless. Like I think I can do anything.
Right.
Like, and
But here's the interesting juxtaposition to that. And I'm going to generalize here, guys that are listening. We all come out of the closet and we can do that. Now, I'm
Which
not
is one
saying it
of the
was
hardest
easy.
things. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
right. But if you take and bottle that energy to do that, I hate to say it, guys, you can do anything because that is
A
one of the
hundred percent.
toughest things we do. And we
Well,
live
it's
and breathe
like
it every day.
for sure. And I feel like it's because you that's, whenever it happens for you, the individual, like I came out when I was 13 and I just remember like that was a big deal, but I also knew I was gay since I was like 8. So I was like, you just have to look yourself in the mirror and be like, this is who I am. And now I like am going to confirm it to the world. It's like a very scary sort of
But
scary
it's the same
thing.
thing about starting your own business or going out
Exactly.
and being an entrepreneur. I talk about this on stage when I have the privilege of doing that. And I use the metaphor coming out. And actually the opening line on stage is every person in this audience has one thing in common. You're hiding in the closet about what you really want to do in your life. And
Oh,
guess
wow,
what?
that's deep.
A whole majority of you are not even LGBTQ, but you're in the closet.
Yeah,
And it's just kind of like,
we're all
whoa, it's like
closeted
there's
in
that
some
moment,
way.
right? Yeah. And
And
that's my whole emphasis. Like we're all in the closet about something. We're all closeted about something. Now, of course, every so often I get, the ass wipe after. I'm not in the closet. How dare you insinuate? I'm like, really?
it's
Let me
interesting
ask
because
you, what
that's
have you
like,
got done? Right. And
yeah, like,
that's
what do
usually
you really
like,
want to do?
yeah. And they're usually the ones that are like, well, I just don't agree with your philosophy around this. I'm still trying to figure shit out. And I'm like, as soon as I say, I'm like, good. You let
Well,
me know when you get it figured out,
I think there can be moments where you take time to figure it out, and it doesn't always
Absolutely.
click for everybody
Oh, come
immediately.
on, Kadeem.
But
Come on. You had it all figured out about the fashion industry from the
I
moment you
mean,
said, let's be truthful here.
the thing is, like, I always knew what I wanted to do, but there was definitely a learning curve that I had to, a very rapid, sort of steep learning curve that I had to go through as when I first came into the industry. It was just
So
like
what
trial
was
by
some of the
fire.
toughest pieces? Like, I don't need the details about, in, but what was like some of the toughest pieces in your own head that you had to really like, okay.
For sure. I mean, one thing going, I guess I'll tie back to like the living your life authentically. It was, I had to learn how to like bring my full self to work and like be okay with being like black in a white dominated industry. It's like the fashion industry is very heavily white and female, and that's something that I didn't really recognize when before I got into the industry. And then when I got there, I was like often the only person of color, the only black person, and often the only guy on like my design team. And
Well, and then there's almost
that,
an assumption like, oh, of course you're,
of
of
course, I'm gonna
course.
be, yes.
Yeah,
Like,
you're
and
that guy. You're gay, you're black, you're
I'm
this,
that
blah, blah, blah,
queen.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
like, and I like always, I mean, anytime I show up as my full self. Like, that's when I walk into a room, I walk in as my full self. And so that it, I don't give anybody the opportunity to sort of like define me. Like, you don't get to tell me who I am. Like, I tell you who I
So
am, but
I'm gonna ask you this because you said it. How did you learn that piece of walking in as your full self? Because that's a biggie.
So for sure, I can pinpoint like exact moments or exact experiences from my like teenage years where after I came out, I went to an art school initially, and I was like in a very affirming environment. Like everybody was gay, and if they weren't, they were like queer adjacent. And so then in 10th grade, I like switched over to a public school that was like really rough and like quite segregated and then quite homophobic, and I like did not fit into anybody's box. So I kind of like had to create my own. And so there was this moment where a teacher like pulled me aside and was like, are you gonna let like the bullies win? Or are you just, or and you're, are you going to let them define your story and like, allow them to have power over you? Or are you going to like reclaim your time, basically, or like reclaim your story? And so then I just came and was like, you know what? I am like going to be fabulous every single day. I use my style as self-expression. I like was, had crazy haircuts, like was the first guy to wear skinny jeans, like had a mohawk. Like I did these weird things to set myself apart, to make myself unique, but then also to make myself powerful. And so one thing for me, that's when I sort of started doing it in order to like win against my adversaries and these people who like hated me for just being me.
But you know, there's something
But then
interesting that you just brought up that is actually, so I did some coach training in the Tony Robbins world, and it's something that he does very well. It's called these power triads, where you really embody the power of you and like, okay, here's my triad for being a designer, here's my triad for being a coach, here's my triad for being a dad, and all this. That whole stuff that he does around those is about bringing your full self into everything you do. And
For sure.
realizing, sure, you can say, here's this silo of this, or here's this, avatar of this. But what I love about that is when you do this kind of work on yourself and you really start to embrace it, Kadeem, that's how you learn this. People ask me the same question, like, well, how did you learn to be so open and, bold and unapologetic about stuff? I'm like, I can pinpoint places, but it was practice. And each time I
Practice,
did
yeah.
it, and I like, okay, well, that my life didn't fall apart. And even sometimes when my life did fall apart because
It
this
was
is
a
what I
learning lesson,
was,
yeah.
it was such a beautiful lesson on, okay, well, it fell apart because those people didn't like me that way. But guess what? They're not. In fact, most of the time that my life exploded because I was just being authentically and unapologetically myself with people, those people don't even exist in my world anymore
Yeah, and
because
I
it
feel
wasn't
like,
because I had to fit for them,
yeah,
even though
you
that's what they
shouldn't.
wanted.
Yeah, you shouldn't like have to mend, to fit into a box or to like have a seat at the table.
Of
And
course,
I think,
the fashion designer would say you have to mend to fit
oh my
in. I
God,
mean, there we
LOL.
go.
Yes, there's so many metaphors I could throw in there. But yeah, no, I think it's just important. Like I carry that moment, like I carry that experience into my professional world. It's like I'm going to use my difference as superpower. And I'm not gonna let anybody like put me in a box or be like you are like less than because of these character traits or whatever demographic group I belong to. Like I get to be excellent and I get to be talented and I get to be like super on my own terms. And again, I think this is something specific to like the gay experience, and that could be across the whole LGBTQ like spectrum. That we, again, like I said before, like we have to go through that huge challenge of coming out and facing ourselves in a world where we know we're going to potentially be ridiculed or like face adversity. Like, you're not always, it's not always going to be, it's not always going to be easy. And
No.
so if you get through that, you can get through anything. And I just
Absolutely.
think it's really important to do that.
But in this month of Pride, which I love Pride, I love Pride season, even though I don't go to a lot of
Same.
festivals and stuff, but and it's year round. I feel like, you got to be yourself year round.
For
Two of the
sure.
things you already said was about pursuing your dreams and living your mo you know fiercely and living your life authentically. I think this is beautiful for Pride month because there's people listening that maybe they haven't gone to a pride. A lot of my clients, it's their first time ever being out as a gay man, right?
Right,
But
sure.
there's that piece of, inviting them to do it fiercely and be authentically who they are, and finding your way to your own destiny. All of
Oof.
this that you've been talking about can even work like, okay, it's my first pride season. What should I do? Well, first of all, here's your dream. Go after it with, be fierce about it and be as authentic as it looks like for you. That could mean you basically, maybe you only make it to the parade, but you're, for whatever reason, like petrified to go in the festival. That can happen, or maybe you go and you're like the one with half your clothes off on a float. That can be it
Most.
too. But however you choose to do this is you, and now I'm going to use a metaphor. That's you threading your own needle of life. See how good I did that?
Yes,
But
work.
threading your own needle of life to be your most authentic self for you. Because as your parents told you, nobody's going to do anything you're going to have to go get it yourself.
For sure. Yeah, that was definitely, that was driven pretty hard into my psyche. Like, you have to do it yourself, and that's fine. Like, I'm okay with going out and getting what I need, and pursuing my dreams on my own terms.
I mean, I think there isn't any one of us that wouldn't love, like, okay, I'm going to design this outfit in your case, and it's just going to take off. Just hand me the like red carpet, poof. Right.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that? Right.
Yeah.
But I work with a lot of guys that are like, okay, I'm going to walk away from this high paying job to go do my passion. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. But no, he's going to hand you the fulfillment from that. You're going to have to be fulfilled with whatever comes along.
For sure.
You're going to have to start finding the fulfillment and even the pursuit. Are you, the first thing I always say is, okay, before we do this leap, because some of these guys, literally they're corner office making, couple million a year. Like, I need to do something, but let's define first that you're going to do this. You're going to hand this to yourself. Nobody's going to hand it to you.
Yeah,
and whatever fulfillment looks like, you better be figuring that out right now. And guess what? It's going to be elusive. You may think you have an idea of what it feels like to be fulfilled. I mean, I'm sitting here. I am looking at Kadeem. He can hardly keep his eyes open because he had huge fashion show all week. And I'm going to say what he was doing after the show was over, which is probably the reason he can hardly stay awake. But anyway,
no.
But I think this is the thing. We get delusional about, okay, I'm going to go do this, right? But we have to step into, I want to do this. My desire is really high to go do something like this. But you also have to marry that with the reality of, and here's what it's going to take to do it.
100%.
And be really clear about that. And we're not going to know some of it. Some of it's not even, some of it's out there lurking in the shadows. Some of it's on the cutting room floor, just waiting to be fabricated into, like, here, I'm going to be your worst nightmare.
Yes.
Right.
And you can't see those roadblocks coming. One of the quotes that I have in my book, which you mentioned earlier.
You have a book? We haven't talked about that yet. You were waiting for my cue. No, I'm kidding.
No, yeah. Well, you said something about threading needle, but one, it also is related to when you do decide to take that leap of faith, making sure that you have a plan. And one of the quotes is from Richard Williams, who is Serena and Venus Williams' father and coach. He's quoted as saying, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And I'm sure he's not the first person to say that, but he like told them that every day before practice. I'm like obsessed with them. I know everything about their like life story, but that's one thing that always stuck with me. And there was this like this turning point for me, going back to what you were saying about being fulfilled, where I always just thought, okay, great, I'm a fashion designer, I win, I succeeded, I did it. And then it's like, okay, well, now I have to like wake up and do this every day. And when I first started, I started my career when I was like 21, right after undergrad, and was in design school after that at Parsons, and then also was working in the industry. And I just felt like I did it, yay. And then I like got there to the office and I was like sitting in a cubicle and I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. This like is not what I thought this was going to be.
This
like
isn't what they show on TV. This is not the way it is. Like, Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn are not sitting there waiting to welcome you in.
It's well, like, actually a funny story about that. On my first day of Parsons, they were actually filming an episode of Project Runway on floor 3 of the building that no longer exists. It was on 7th Avenue, the historic Parsons building. But all the students were headed to the 9th floor, and the elevator accidentally opened up to the set of
Project Runway. All the set, the lights and everything. Oh,
and so it's funny because people were like, you're not going to like immediately meet Tim Gunn. Funnily enough, I had already met him earlier in my life at a Creating Change conference, an LGBT college conference. But there was the elevator opened on the wrong floor, and then Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum were sitting there. So I was like, if you look really, really hard at one of the episodes, I'm there like, oh my gosh. But what I was saying was that I went through, the first 3 years of my career, I was just sort of like going with the motions. And I was just like, wait a second, like, this is like not what I thought my dream was going to look like. Granted, I was being a little bit impatient. Like, I was 23. Like, I, had time. I didn't realize
you're gay. So, impatience comes with being gay. Let's stereotype everything, right?
Yeah. So. No, I mean, I just felt like I needed to, this is also like, because I'm from I'm a millennial, and I sort of was raised in that sort of achievement mindset. Like, you have to be a winner. First place is the only place. Like, I was in like the honors classes, AIG, all that. So I sort of have just always wanted to win and win early. And so I had all these goals that I needed to achieve by the time I was 21, by the time I was 25, by the time I was 30. And I started, there was a point where I was not trending towards achieving a major goal of mine by 25. And I would just like lot like I had like a quarter life crisis, as that crazy as that sounds. Like, I never thought I would face that so early on, but I had a moment where I was like, I'm not fulfilled by fashion anymore. And that was devastating to me because, again, fashion is something that I love, but also something that I do for a
But
living.
this is the thing that I see happen over and over with guys that I'm coaching, not because I'm a bad coach, but sometimes it is. But it's this pursuit of the passion, and actually, I just recorded a podcast. It's been a couple of months ago about this. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due in a minute here. But this pursuit of passion can be such bullshit because we give up. Oh, we think this is it. We get there. Oh, that didn't do it. So fine, done. That's not it.
Well, I
So
think,
credit
I
due is to Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat,
okay.
Pray, Love.
All right.
I was listening to Oprah, Super Soul Sunday, and I had never heard this one. I mean, I'm a big Liz Gilbert, because Liz and I are tight, like kind of like whatever. Not at all. But anyway, we'll play that off that way. And I thought, oh, this is interesting, because the title of the podcast was I think it was The Pursuit of Passion is Bullshit. Like, oh, I got to listen to this one, right? And she goes off on this tangent about it, and she goes, the thing is we got to stay curious. So of course then I like took my own version of
100%,
that and did
sure.
it, right? Too often we go after these things and then it doesn't work, we stop, and then we're miserable. When really, if you had ever given up along the way, like, oh, I met Heidi and Tim in Parsons and I didn't get swept into stardom, right? Okay, well, I'm not supposed to be here. The
Yeah, I mean
pursuit is
that.
part of the goal. It is part of the journey, and continue and continue. If I had just settled for being just, quote, a coach and never jumped at this, like, well, let's try this podcasting thing or this internet radio thing, you and I would not be having this conversation. And now I love it and I can't stop doing it. Like, I am addicted. I'm just going to say I got the IV bag of podcasting plugged into my arm right now. But
Well, it's just like you have to just keep going. Like, one of the jokes that, not jokes, one of the things that a lot of, I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm based in New York. And one of the things that a lot of New Yorkers say is like, if you can stick it out and make it in whatever your given field is, whatever make it means to you in 10 years. And if you can live consistently and for 10 years in New York, then you can literally do anything because it's just like such a hard city to succeed in, to socialize in. Like, everybody's sort of like the cream of the crop, best of the best, and coming to really compete at a very high level. And it's like very heavy competition just in New York in general. But then also the fashion industry is like extremely cutthroat. And one of the things that a mentor of mine told me in the beginning was just to stick it out. She's like, you will find yourself at the top of the ladder or whatever. Just be, great, I'm talented and great, I work hard, but also like there are people who are not going to keep going. And so by virtue of them quitting, you then win. It's like, I was a runner when I grew up, and I approach a lot of what I do in the mindset of like a competitive athlete. It's like, if I step on the track and I'm running 400, I'm running against me, I'm running against the clock, but I also want to win. And it's like, I'm not coming in last place. Like, that's not going to happen. And so I kind of think about, I, apply that sort of motto of always trying to be in like the top three.
But
I
I'm
apply
curious,
that
Kadeem,
pressure
along those same
about.
lines, my gut feeling, and I don't know the answer to this question, gang, so I'm going to just ask it. My gut feeling would say that even writing your first book, it was the same energy. It's like, I just got to keep going. I just got to stick to it. I just got to get this book out. Because it's not easy. I mean, I've
No,
written one,
so
and I've written now two books. One I'm getting ready to try to get out there in the bigger sphere. But
yeah,
it takes the same, it like the just stick
the
to it,
leap
keep
of
going.
the like you have to have the leap of faith, the decision that you're going to make it. Excuse me, the decision that you're going to do it, and then also like a detailed plan of how you're going to execute, and then like a deadline.
Yep.
Sorry.
And the hardest part of that is you can see it. I mean, I
you
remember
can see,
when I,
yeah, you can
yeah,
see
I remember
you can
when
see
I'm like,
finish
okay,
line.
I'm going to do this book, right? And you're all energetic and ready to go. And then you're like, is this ever going to get
Well,
done? Is it ever going to be
so
over? You
the
know?
thing, one of the things, so I had a little bit of experience with this growing up. So my mom is like, she's a librarian, and I grew up around books. I grew up around a lot of like really great authors, actually, like really big authors would always like sort of be coming in and out of our house. And, you know, I got to sort of hear these great inspirational people when I was a kid. And one of the things that that really stuck with me was how important it is to write a book to tell your story, but then also to the one challenge that everybody faced was not sticking to their deadline. And it was just like, if you say you're going to write a book and it's going to be published on this day, then that's what you need to do. So what I did with my book, Threading the Needle, I put a very, very unrealistic, like delusional timeline on it. I was like, I'm publishing this on May 3rd, and I put it up for pre-order on Amazon before I even started writing it, because I knew that that would force me to do it. One, because I refuse to be embarrassed in public. Like, once I put my name on something, I need it to be great. But also because Amazon has a very strict policy that if you get pre-orders and then you don't deliver, you can't, because they set like a publication deadline. For because I did it as an ebook and then paperback through Amazon, and they were like, it has to be done by May 1st in order to go live on May 3rd, or whatever the dates were at this certain time. And if you don't, then you're banned from doing pr the pre-order, taking advantage of pre-orders on Amazon for like 7 years or something like that. You can sell a book, but you just can't do the pre-order. And pre-orders, as you know, are very great in sort of like getting this like revenue beforehand. So, and gauging interest about the book. And so a lot of people probably won't believe me, but it's the truth that I wrote my book in 2 months. So,
Oh,
and
I
it was
believe you.
definitely,
I mean, sometimes when those deadlines is like, just get it done. It's
yeah,
got
I
to get
just like
done, no matter
sat
what.
down and was like, look, I'm doing this, and I'm not gonna, I like told very few people about my plan because I didn't want anybody to discourage me, or sort of jinx it. I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna just do this. And literally when I posted that I was that the book had gone live for pre-order, I had not put pen to paper. And I was like, well, now I said I have to write a book, and I said when the date is, and I can't change it. And so I just did it. And that's the thing, like as I said before, like I've always just been a person that like looks challenges, you know, very straight on, and I'm not scared of anything, really. Like I operate in a very sort of like fearless space because I've had to approach life like that. No, again, nothing has been handed to me. So writing a book was just something that I wanted to do. And as I wrote in my Instagram caption when I posted, I was like, I've always wanted to write a book, and it's something that's just been like in sort of like in the back of my head. And I was like, let's just bring it to the front of mind and like let's just make it happen. Because like, what is the worst for me? I just said to myself, what is the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is that I sell no books, and that could actually be the best, because then nobody would have read it. But like the best that could happen is that one person buys the book and it inspires them to go live their dream. And the best is that I like, you know, debut at number one or become a bestseller. And I did debut at number one. And so that was another thing that I remember staring at my name, you know, above like Andre Leontali's memoir. Like I ranked higher than him for like 2 weeks. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like my name is now amongst those people that I used to idolize. And it's just like, what makes me, why can't I also have a name on a book? Like there's nothing stopping me from doing that except myself. And I just went through a moment in the last few years where I was like, I'm just gonna stop living in the space of like self-doubt and like self-sabotage, which that's a whole other thing. Read the Velvet Rage, guys. Like it's very like gay guys, I think, go through this
But you just
period.
brought something up that's like the core essence, whether it's can I write a book? Why can't
Or
I
can you
do
do
this?
anything? Yeah. Why can I?
It's
Yeah.
just insert whatever, you know, whatever it is
Right.
there.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there. I don't,
Yeah. The
and
opportunity. Yeah. The
anybody who
opportunity.
tells me that thought isn't going to cross their mind, I'm going to call bullshit on really quickly. I mean, you can
Oh,
be
for
really
sure.
super positive, but
Well,
it's
the
going to cross your
fear.
mind, but if you can realize all it is a thought, That is it.
The thought, it's not real. Yeah, like the fear.
It's not
of
real until you own it, grab onto it, and continue to hold on to it. And even then, it's still not real. But you're giving it the power. You're giving it life when we do that. And I think one of the key things I hope that everybody listening takes away from this conversation is you keep allowing yourself to, first of all, push forward, to grab on, to go get what you're going to go get, to do it fiercely and with, you know, being very authentically. And, you know, guys, I'm going to just encourage you, whatever you've heard here today, it doesn't mean you absolutely have to do it the way that Kadeem or I have done it. But if you took one thing and said, okay, what is the one little thing I could do? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the thought of I'm going to come up with five ways I could walk away from what I currently do. You're just going to brainstorm.
Transition.
That means you're not putting them into practice yet. What are, you know, five things I would love to do? Write a book, skydive, travel the world.
Yeah,
any of those things. Yeah, you do your bucket list thing, but even like create a nonprofit. Whatever it is, you're not committing to it in that moment. You're saying these are things that could bring me alive.
Right. And sorry to do it, but even more importantly, or relatedly, you also like haven't failed yet. Like I think often people like the fear of failure just stops them from trying at all. It's like, if I step up to the starting line, I'm going to finish the race. And that's just something.
But the beauty is if you step up to the line,
well, you have to,
and whether you, whether you finish the race or you fail, at least you did something.
You tried.
And either way, whether you fail or you get across the finish line, you're going to learn. And if you really give yourself permission, you'll go try again.
That's true.
I'd much rather fail and go, now what can I do better than to never have gone through the starting gate?
I used to have this mindset that if, you know, that it would basically be the end of the world if I failed at something small, if I got like a 98 instead of 100, or if I disappointed someone, or if I didn't bring my best self to work or whatever. And I recently changed my mindset to just be that. Instead of being, you know, instead of asking the question, what if I fail? I just ask the question, what if I succeed? Like, what if it just actually ends up being great? Or like, what if it ends up being middle of the road? So what? Like, at least I tried. And I've never been afraid of trying. And I'm also not afraid of like failing publicly anymore. It's like, I used to just like be stifled and not like want to go after, you know, sort of like the fullness of my dream, because I was scared about what it would look like. Like when you put yourself out there as an artist or a creative, like you're putting yourself out there and opening yourself up to critique and like people's comments. And a lot of a thing that people do not understand if they're not in the public eye is that you have people who do not know you like at all on a personal level, critiquing you about something that is very deep and personal to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of artists, you know, all of their paintings are on canvas in a garage. It's like, no, put it in a museum, display it, and let yourself be open to critique. And the worst that can happen is that someone sees your piece and doesn't like it. Like your life is not over if someone doesn't like something. And another quote that I wanted to say, is from the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is like a good sort of like tie into Pride, but specifically the Patti LaBelle version, where she says, if teeny weeny birds can fly over the rainbow, then why can't I? And I feel like that is just such a profound question. Like, yes, it's like a song lyric, but it's like, why can't I? Like, I don't believe in impossibility. I just believe in possibility. And again, that goes back to sort of how I was raised. Like my parents really told me that I could do anything that I wanted and I could be anything that I wanted. And I believe them. And like, whether that makes me like delusional or crazy, it's fine. Like
it doesn't make you delusional. It makes you
believe in yourself. But I believe in myself. And I also then had to learn how to believe in myself when no one else did. And that's an important thing.
It's a huge piece of all of this, whether it's a book, a podcast, designing clothes, leaving a corner office job, any of this.
It's a risk.
You can't, it's a risk, but it's a risk where if you believe in yourself enough to do it, that's, I'm not going to say it's half the battle, but it's the start of the battle.
For sure.
It puts you in the starting block. It gets you in the starting gate. It gets you in the fabric store. I don't care whatever the metaphor is we're going to use here, right? It gets you putting that thread through the needle. It's that Absolutely. Thing that moves you that direction. And in this Pride season, I would say that what Kadeem has brought to us today in such beautiful ways is today may be the day you thread the needle of walking into your first Pride.
Absolutely.
Today may be the day that you look and go, I'm worth this. And I'm going to trust that me being who I'm meant to be in the world, whether it's being gay, whether it's being a designer, whether it's being a podcaster, whatever it may be, is me worthy of being me.
Yeah. Worthiness is a very big thing there. Right. And I think that gay guys struggle with worthiness, but I suggest you get a therapist ASAP and sort out.
Or get a good coach like Rick. I'm free to coach right now, but anyway, Kadeem, I am so glad you came here today, man, and shared. Absolutely. His book is Threading the Needle, A Fashion Designer's Guide to Successfully Launching Your First Collection. And I'm going to say, because I'm Mr. like metaphor guy, I bet even if you're like, I'm not going to start a fashion collection, I bet if you read his book, you'd be inspired by what you can do if you want to do anything. It's sure it's around this thing. But for many of us, tap back in, especially guys that are you guys that listen to this podcast that are predominantly over 40. Many of you are coming up against that. I want to do my next thing in life.
Like, what is the next?
Thread the needle. Start threading the needle on the mix. Absolutely. See, I'm gonna keep plugging your book, man. I love it.
The title really is, you know, very indicative of that process, like that starting point. You cannot start. You can't make a garment unless you can't sketch until you sharpen your pencil, and you can't sew a garment until you thread the needle. And so the book really, again, is about. Yes, it's about launching your first collection, but it can be applied. The principles in the book and the quotes and sort of some personal anecdotes that I share in the book can be applied to anybody who's looking to start a new thing. Like, take that leap of faith, make sure you have a plan and deadlines and clear goals, and don't let these barriers that are, you know, don't let the voices inside your head win. And, you know, like I said before, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is that somebody doesn't like your work and like, they don't really, those people's opinions don't matter. But thank you again for having me on the podcast.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And happy Pride, everybody. Yeah. I mean, however you're going to celebrate Pride, go out there, enjoy it, and take this podcast as just another means of doing what you got to do out there in the world to be unapologetically who you are. And more than anything, just be joyful and unapologetic about being the gay man that you are. Thanks everybody for being listeners, and we'll be back next week with another episode of 40 Plus Gay Men, Gay Talk.
That's a wrap for 40 Plus Gay Men, Gay Talk, where size doesn't matter. We drop our bullshit, get over our screwed up fears, make bold moves, and live life without apologies. Don't forget to join us on Facebook at 40 Plus Gay Men, Gay Talk, where the conversations continue.